William, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure.
Your latest book, Southeastern Arizona Mining Towns, kind of traces not only the history statewide of the industry, but particularly focuses on Southeast Arizona, which is sort of the epicenter of copper mining. And you write that Spanish and early Americans were initially drawn to this region by gold and silver. And then, of course, the Industrial Revolution came along and the need for copper quickly rose to the top in terms of importance for mineral extraction. That, combined with the passage of the 1872 mining law, kind of paved the way to make us a major copper-producing state. Are there some other factors that were at play that led to Arizona being a major copper producer?
Well, I think naturally with the settlement here in Arizona, from the earliest days of the Native Americans on through the era of the Spanish and during the Mexican occupation, there's always been an interest in finding that mother lode of gold and silver. However, I think that throughout the 19th century, as time progressed and the California Gold Rush took off, a lot more people came to settle out in California, and they just merely stopped off in Arizona just to see what they could find. And over time, they found that gold and silver were a little bit, they're available here in the state, however, not as in great quantity as copper. And of course, with the Industrial Revolution, there was a great demand for copper, and that definitely propelled an interest. And over time, Arizona became the copper state. I mean, essentially exporting 60% of the copper throughout the United States, and I would probably say anywhere between 40 and 50% in the world.
You mentioned in your book there's somewhere on the order of 400,000 claims that have been staked in this state in the past 150 years.
And that is correct. And there's probably a lot more that, that have not been mentioned. And I think that goes back to your first question, you know, the interest in people coming out here and pursuing metal exploration. I mean, it wasn't just big companies. I mean, you had people coming out here that were just small-time prospectors. You know, the objective was to find precious metals. And I think that's what established the state right there.
We're talking with Tucson author William Escarza about his new book, Southeastern Arizona Mining Towns. William, you spend some time in your new book contrasting the fortunes of various towns that were able to weather the volatility of the copper markets over the years. Bisbee's a good example. 100 years ago, there were 20,000 people living there, which made it one of the largest towns between the Mississippi River and the Pacific Ocean. There are other towns, Ruby, Gleason, Cortland, that were also population centers, not quite as large as Bisbee, but copper went bust and so did the towns. What was the deciding factor that allowed one town to survive and another to wither and die?
Well, I think backing up here to Bisbee, I think Bisbee has that that example of longevity. The copper ore deposits were discovered in the late 1870s, and you know, essentially that that mine was in operation for just about 100 years. I mean, it ceased for the most part production around 1975. And what kept it together through the booms and busts was just the accessibility of the copper and the way that they explored. I mean, essentially, it started out as an underground mining operation, and then over time, it went to an open pit. Those were ways of evolving technology, which kind of kept the town going. I think, if anything, it has been the mining engineers that are the ones that really kept it going by employing new devices that allowed for easier copper extraction so that they could weather these booms and busts. However, you know, there are some cases, you know, a good example would be Gleason, Pierce, and Cortland back in the first decade or first two decades of the 20th century. It was really booming. I mean, there was a lot of silver coming out of those deposits. And then all of a sudden, you know, they either had the issue with flooding or they had an issue with being able to economically extract the metal and make profit. So a lot of these towns, they were around in, you know, during boom-bust cycles. But these were people that that realized, or the companies, they employed the engineers to realize, you know, what is the best way to extract the copper. Whereas other towns, they had small-time mining operations, and they were, you know, they were successful, but it was kind of a fly-by-night. And after a couple years, they just dried up and went away.
And it's worth noting that some of these towns were company towns, literally existed just for the benefit of mine workers. Others were towns that had somewhat of a frontier history that saw mining kind of come in and kind of change the economic landscape there.
Yeah, you did mention, you know, when you talk about that, I automatically think I sold my soul to the company store, the old Tennessee Ernie Ford tune. And there's a lot of truth to that, because there were a lot of times the towns would have their own current, or a coin, I should say, and that that coin is known as a token. And, you know, the miners, I mean, essentially they had nowhere to go. They worked sometimes, normally 10 to 12 hours a day, working 6 days a week. And they were, essentially, they were stuck in the town environment, and they had to use the tokens they were given, in order to support themselves and their families.
William, you spent quite a bit of time researching this book and poring over hundreds and hundreds of historical images, many of which appear in the book. And I'm wondering, now that the book's out, what your thoughts are as you look back on what you learned about southeastern Arizona mining towns.
It was fun doing this book, very educational. There's a technical side to it, but there's also a personal side to it. When you go out there and you meet with people and you hear about their family history, and you're able to acquire photography, which may never get published if it wasn't for you going in there and making that inquiry and getting it out there. Because once you get rid of something that and images, any images, they're gone for forever. So I think it's very important as a historian to be able to go out there and acquire the images, write about them, so that you have a collection which will be preserved over time for future generations. And that really makes me happy. And to be able to tell a story at the same time, that's very important as well.
Indeed, the stories and images in your book give us a great insight into an interesting part of Arizona history. William, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much, Mark.
That's William Escarza. He's the author of several books, including ones on the Tucson Mountains and the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. His latest is a pictorial history called Southeastern Arizona Mining Towns, out now from Arcadia Publishing. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.